Metal Cough!
Hey, behave!
Here we go, John.
It is week one of the NFL preseason, not counting last Thursday.
Oh, I thought you were jumping the gun with the week one, but I see what you're doing, week one preseason.
We got two Thursday night games this week.
Thursday night football.
And that's the beauty of when you got great, you know, rookies you want to watch, you get fired up for the Patriots and the football team. I'm not sure which rookie on the football team I'm most excited for, but I'm going to make that, pare that list down. Steelers again. So, you know, You can compare week one, Dwayne Haskins, to week two, Dwayne Haskins. And the Eagles. I can't wait for Sirianni's squad. Then we got three games on Friday, John.
Okay.
Arthur, he didn't just hire me because my name is Arthur Smith, the coach of the Falcons.
Yeah, okay.
Against the Titans, you know, the game.
Okay, his home team, yep. Braves.
Julio probably doesn't return to Atlanta because he'll probably just stay in Tennessee for this one. Unless whatever happened with the weed laundering? Is that a thing? Or did that story not real?
Yeah, I mean, it was a great question.
I don't know.
Bills Lions.
Okay. NFL Network does a good job. They just carry all these games, you know? And if you have the NFL Game Pass, I saw. Do you know what the NFL does? Oh. They just automatically renew your subscription. You get that email?
I got
you've been charged $99.99.
I was like,
well, fuck.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Remember, in the preseason on that app, you can just watch the games live. Right? If you just like the line, if you're just sitting on your couch and like watching the Giants play the Dodgers.
You're saying that, you still, that works that way again?
Well, for preseason, I think it always has. Okay. You can always just watch. You just click the game.
And then Cowboys Cardinals. That's the other Friday night game.
I would pay probably like $300-$400 for that just to be the. I guess that's what DirecTV is, right? You know, the NFL, the season ticket.
Sunday ticket, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a time in my life where I was like, I don't know, $100 for all the game tape to all the NFL. I don't know if I want that. And now it's.
Yeah.
It's a no brainer. Easiest $100.
I don't utilize this as much as I did probably 4 or 5 years ago, but I still use it.
For the film study?
Yeah, if there's just a game that I missed that, you know, sometimes like on a Tuesday, if something big had happened, I didn't watch the game, I'll just like download, you know, it's 45 minutes, watch the condensed one, take it like with me to the gym. Just hit the Stairmaster, get a sweat in, watch the game fast.
Yep.
It's easy.
John, we've been overwhelmed. Hi, everybody. Welcome. If you're listening to the podcast, we're starting the week. If you're watching the podcast either live or on your own time, it's great to see you. Overwhelmed in a good way by all of your messages. Started up on Friday. I mean, we get them all week. We had a ton last week. But there was an onslaught. At one point, I checked my phone. I think it was Friday night. And it was just Tito's mentions. Here's a photo of my Tito's. Saturnine on YouTube says, got me some Tito's today. Used home promo code HAM at Walmart, but they looked at me funny. Full retail, but totally worth it.
Yeah, I got our buddy Brian Hawkins, St. Mary's legend,
size 32 waist.
It's maybe 165 pounds. He told me 165 pounds. He said he's ideally 170
body fat and percentage about 4.
Text me first thing this morning. Like, I don't know if I've been that drunk in a while. We got after it pretty good. Tito's. I did my part last night in the community. Tito's and sodas. Transitioned to Tito's and John Daly's. And it was just flowing, and it was flowing, and the times were good with my friend Tito's. And I drank all night long.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Yeah. So thank you for sending us all those
Safe
photos.
And responsibly.
Oh, that as wasn't as so much my Tito's it. Ad as it was just a thank you to the
yeah, it was cool.
The whole thing's a Tito's ad, you know, so.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I noticed a lot of people just out and about, just doing a little market research. A lot of people ordering Tito's and sodas. And I try to recommend to everyone, if you want a little flavor, get the John Daly. Because, you know, if you're not like a golfer, I don't know if John Daly, like in our circle, I think a lot of people know, but I just like casual older ladies. I don't know if they just know the John Daly. And then you have the John Daly, like, whoa, this is really good, right?
So, I mean,
because who doesn't have an Arnold Palmer and think it's very tasty?
Yeah, because you're like, you know, Tito's is smooth, but what if I made it go down twice as fast?
with a little sugar.
And gave myself a little caffeine, yeah. I did get a few messages from people doing the maybe I was planning to just give up on the ham and Tito's because I was like, this is dumb, the pink lemonade and Tito's. But I'm getting photos of people doing the pink lemonade and Tito's. So,
yeah. Okay. You might have legs.
I'm not even, I was going to let it die on the vine. Die a valiant
stretch.
Death.
You go the ham and then the pink.
I know.
Pork. You know,
it is a stretch. But it's definitely a stretch. There's no question. But since you already mentioned it, John, before we go any further, let's tell the people that, yes, indeed, this podcast and all that we do right now is brought to you by, in part, by our presenting sponsor, Tito's Handmade Vodka, which speaks for itself. As one of my friends or our friends told me, you know, I already knew about Tito's, but thanks for the heads up.
Yeah.
Number one vodka in America, John. Number one.
Well, one of our listeners was either a DM or a tweet that CVS in Sacramento completely sold out.
Elk Grove, yeah.
You couldn't, or Elk Grove, you couldn't even buy it. And that's the thing. You got to get to the shelves. You got to love the price point because it's fantastic. But this bottle flies, guys.
Get to the shelves.
Tito's, go get yourself a bottle right now because they are flying off the shelves.
We're hearing from people on the ground floor, John, ever since Tito started sponsoring the podcast. The man's name is Tito Beverage. We're all in on the company because he built the thing with his hands and 19 credit cards and no support. And you know what he did it on, John? He did it on quality
guts and glory.
Content. And guts and glory.
Yeah.
And we know all about the guts.
American-made, based in Austin, still lives there.
Six times distilled. Just a copper pots,
proud
John.
American.
That's not how most people make it. More labor-intensive, but it's better.
Gluten-free?
Gluten-free.
No big deal.
Yeah. You got to pay 50 cents extra for gluten-free bread at the deli. You're not paying any extra for the gluten-free in Tito's.
I know. Gluten-free sandwich in the city cost you like $75.
Do you want to do the line or should I do the line?
I'll do the line. Distilled and bottled by fifth generation. You do the line.
Distilled and bottled in Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume, namely 80 proof, crafted to be savored responsibly.
I thought the line was on the bottle, but it's a little different on the bottle.
All right. So much to get to, John. Oh, the line's different on the bottle. Gotcha. So much to get to because this week starts. We had we've got open practice video. We're getting Justin Fields video. Zach Wilson reading some of those stories. Not ideal start for him. These are just practices, but this is what we got right now. And like I said last week, the coaches value practice because it matters to them. So if it matters to the coaches, it matters to us. And if it matters,
I love the don't overreact crowd. Like, well, this is what you have to react off of. So it's like, this is what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Not that I know any of the don't overreact. Everyone can't wait for our reactions. So
it's all part of the puzzle here. It's all part of the puzzle. Decisions are made. Kyle Shanahan said the other day, right, he is going to play this year. Speaking of Trey Lance, that doesn't surprise us of people that have watched him. But we're not going to start here talking so much about a quarterback competition as talking about kind of the competition that the 49ers have in front of them as an organization, because when you have 20,000 people at your first open practice in your stadium, and some of that driven by Trey Lance, no doubt, but that tells you what people expect of you. People show up on the West Coast in particular, but all over, but particularly out here, when they think you're going to be good. And I think right now there's this feeling like they drafted high, they were bad last year, it's a big bounce back year, and all those things are true. But the pressure's going to ratchet up real quick if you look up and this team is 2-3 or 3-4 or 4-4 or whatever, make up your numbers. However you want to arrange it, there is pressure. And I know that because there are expectations. And 20,000 people is a celebration, but it's also expectation. It tells you what people think, and they think you're going to be good.
Well, last night out and about rubbing elbows with the people, and you were saying
like
this
Nance at the Masters
earlier before we hopped on, just about the Niners buzz. You feel it everywhere you go because so many people are just wearing hats, wearing shirts in anticipation for the season. And I think if you just ran into a random guy, 30-year-old Billy, and you said, who do you feel better about right now, the Niners or the Giants, being the San Francisco Giants? By the way, the San Francisco Giants have the best record in baseball, and the Niners finished last in their division. I think the Niners right now are talked about like a legit Super Bowl favorite, where the Giants are probably more than likely going to be the one seed in baseball. I think most people would be, oh, the Niners. It'd be like, Giants are really good, but I don't know if it's all going to come together. Like, the expectations right now for the San Francisco 49ers and the standard, I just think, in the way they're being talked about is probably a little different based, like, it's not very often that a team comes off a 6-10 year and people are going to have the expectations this team's going to have. Because I would say anything, I don't give a shit how it happens. If they miss the playoffs, it would be an epic disaster. Right? Because they have two quarterbacks. That's the other thing. I mean, they have two quarterbacks. The team is pretty stacked. And, like, the way they're just being talked about nationally, locally, you and I have been at practice. Like, they look good. the expectations, I think, are fair, but that comes with pressure of getting it done. And it's not like, you know, they're the Saints or they're Andy. Like they, it's not like they've been going to the playoffs every year. So you just mark them in the playoffs, right? And they're definitely just getting marked in the playoffs, right?
Yeah, and also you, I think part of it is like you, there's a semi pass for last year from a lot of people because of the injuries they had, which is they had a lot of injuries, legitimate. But you don't get that 2 years in a row because if you get a lot of injuries in the second year and it costs you again and it looks bad again, part of the response is why did you not better prepare for all these injuries, right?
Yeah.
Like you had it happen last year. So if part of the nature of the sport, no doubt, is like you just got to hold your breath and hope. Like I said this to you when we were watching practice the other day and Jimmy Garoppolo was throwing from a muddied pocket and they're just D linemen and O linemen everywhere and two offensive linemen go down. It's just like, you just hold your breath and you hope that both guys pop up and they walk off. And it's this, that's how it is in August. Forget it. You know, September, October, it's a whole different animal. But you don't get that 2 years in a row.
But every team, here's the thing. Every team has injuries, some form or fashion. Like, it's just that they're at the time now in their team building process. There is no excuse. Like, you have to make the playoffs. We talked about it going into year three for Kyle because he was still held to such a, like, people talked about him so well, and he was well-respected in the league 2 years in, and they had drafted once in the top 10. The second year, they drafted second. Now, part of that, Jimmy got hurt, but it was like people were tired of, well, this didn't happen, this didn't happen. We had to reset that. The hype on this team, to me, won't allow for that to take place. Like, no. It would be devastation.
Yeah, because it's national hype and it's local expectation. I don't even know if hype is quite the word. Like Trey Lance, you could argue maybe that's more hype than expectation. Hype doesn't mean it.
That would be more hype because he's never proven it.
Yeah, it's not. It's not. Right. But if something were to happen to Garoppolo, you wouldn't have the, well, let's say he was the starter and something were to happen, you wouldn't have the, well, okay, they didn't really have an NFL-ready backup, a guy that could really win you football games on their roster. You know, if Bosa gets hurt again, you go, all right, now you have a much bigger problem here, right? It's that you have one of your best players, you can't rely on them.
They also are in a division that is just fielding two playoff teams from last year. The Cardinals missed because they, you know, shut down their leg right at the end. Like, they're really talented. It's the most difficult division by far. Not just on paper, but on the field.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't think it's outrageous to think three teams make the playoffs. But that shows you, like, the intensity of those divisional games, the carryover then to the following weeks when you're playing other teams. Like, it's not going to be easy. Now, nothing ever is. I guess some of those Patriot teams, I felt like, God, this is pretty easy.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be difficult, but to me, they have to get a double-digit win. Like, that's just, you just have to find a way.
Part of this is there's like...
Which they should. I mean, I think they're 11-16.
Yeah, part of it too, though, John, is that it's also about, you brought a lot of guys back on defense in your secondary. We're now 2 years now for now. This is Javon Kinlaw's second year. Like year one, it's a big adjustment. You got to work. Now it's like, okay, DeForest Buckner's gone. This was part of the solution. It's got to start showing, looking like it's working, right? You saw flashes of it, but like, it's all these things now. Debo again, got to be healthy. Ayuk, it looks really good. Can he slide into that spot? Like, there's just a lot of things that even though they feel like unknown, I know what Nick Bosa is when he's healthy. I know what Debo Samuel is when he's healthy. I know what I've seen from Brandon Ayuk. I know if Jason Verrett's healthy, I saw what that looks like. But it's like, it still has to happen. But because there are so many of those knowns, like you've seen these guys, I think it's easy for people to go, yeah, that group right there should win 11 games.
Yeah. And I mean, if they win 11 games, Haber Middlecoff will be very happy because business will be very good on this podcast.
Yeah. Well, right. That's the other part. It's transparency is important.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty clear.
Selfishly,
what's going on here?
Three-win football team
but to it's talk about. But it's clear with it's the fan. Like, it's just people are. I'm not trying to overthink this thing about like Corona and everything, but I just think the emotions are high from everything that's happened over the last year and a half. People are kind of putting their hopes around this area into this team. And because the Niners are the biggest deal. When they're good, there is not a team like them in this area, and they got the fucking Giants and the Warriors who are behemoths. And the Niners are even on another level. But the Giants are actually doing it right now. We've seen the Warriors win championships. There is some tangible, like, are the Niners really just going to... Because there is that just... Is this really going to go as smooth as everyone thinks?
Well, I mean, things don't always, football doesn't always work smoothly. But, I mean, that's part of the deal. Like, you'd go back to the year they went to the Super Bowl. Not everything went smoothly. Not everything goes smoothly. Not everything went.
Well, they just started like 9-0.
Well, I understand, but I'm just like, things happen.
But the thing is, if you can just start 9-0, you're like,
yeah, that was about.
They were in the playoffs by about end of
October.
But
we're not talking about going to the Super Bowl. We're talking about being a playoff team, right? Winning 11 games. The teams that ultimately go to the Super Bowl, sometimes they're not better than the teams that didn't, a couple of them, but sometimes they're luckier. Like, that's part of the deal. But we're not talking about the Super Bowl as the standard. You know, you've said this since, you've said this for 7 years? How long ago did we start doing a radio show? Like, the one thing about Niner fans is they know what it looks like. Like, you can't fool them because they've seen it. They saw it in the 80s. They saw it in the 90s. Saw it again with Harbaugh. So you can't trick them. There's no, it's coming. It's like, no, we know what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah.
Billy on YouTube says, Niner fans are tired of losing, endured the Singletary days. Still mad about the Singletary days. I mean, shit, when Jed shipped Harbaugh off, people were flying planes over the stadium with banners that said to fire Jed York. That was an impressive amount of passion from a West Coast fan base that doesn't get the credit for it. But you and I talk about this as a top five organization in the league.
It was ugly times. I mean, they had fired one of the most, if you had to rank, I mean, in our lifetime, obviously Bill Walsh was number one. I'd say Harbaugh's popularity, while it was short, was.
And it turned out more an external popularity than like beloved in the building.
Yeah, but the external popularity with the fans was high. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, because he's
the most beloved coach I've ever seen. Like, people like Bruce Bochy, everyone loved him. But like, when you talked about Jim Harbaugh, like in the peak of the Niners rolling with a fan, they took pride like he was a family member. Like, it was never seen anything like it. And you probably honestly might not ever see anything like it again.
It's because he was so bizarre. It was like, that's I think Niner fan, like, that's our weirdo. You know,
yeah, it was a unique personality. He's an outlier. He's a one of a kind.
From YouTube, Pinor, we need to see the preseason games already. The QB battle and the cornerbacks is all we talk about. I want to know who's a lock to be that third receiver we can count on. Seeing Ambry Thomas and Trey Learning, I do want to know who that third. At this point,
third receiver is a lock as Mohamed Sanu.
Somebody asked the other day, like, could it be Jalen Hurd? It's like, well, he started actually practicing several practices in. Probably not going
to
be your number three.
I heard Kyle's like, yeah, it's good to see him for the first time in 2 years. We'll just take it day by day.
I'd be interested what this preseason John looks like. No one looks at preseason game wins and losses and goes, that's what mattered. That's what didn't matter. But I mean, it's a preseason game. Fans haven't been in for a year. It is the Chiefs. It's not, you know, it's a shadow of the Chiefs. It's not the real Chiefs. But Saturday night will be interesting. I think it's going to look pretty good.
It'll be the highest rated preseason game in 20 years. And that won't even be a question when Trey Lance is in the game. It'll do a 30.
Yeah, well, the Niners, I'm not talking about numbers. I'm just talking about in the stadium. What is it going to look like in the stadium? I bet it looks fantastic.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't blame anyone for not going to a preseason game.
The 20,000 people just went to a practice.
But it's easier to go to a practice than it is a game.
Cheaper.
Was it free?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Niners' local preseason broadcasts are always pretty widely viewed, but you're right. This will be on in every parklet in Northern California.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. The headline that we were talking about this, the open practice, this was the Zach Wilson review. It was not good to start. And I think you and I were talking a little bit earlier about the Justin Fields highlights have been good. We are going to see some Mac Jones on Thursday. But it was, and this is something that with history, we've gone back on Mitchell Trubisky and gone, let's just remember, like, there wasn't much debate about Trubisky versus Deshaun Watson versus Patrick Mahomes in that draft. I was listening to Bill Polian talking about drafting Edgerrin James yesterday before Edgerrin went to the Hall of Fame and had a great speech. And he's like, you know, everybody thought we were drafting Ricky Williams fourth overall. It was not a no-brainer. Like, every member of the media thought we were drafting him. The fans at the Fan Fest were pretty angry when we didn't draft Ricky Williams. You know, in my mind,
we don't get enough of those anymore, do we?
What, the fans were angry because we didn't draft a guy?
No, like complete curveballs. Like, oh my god, it'd been like the Jets Sammy this Watkins. Year drafting Justin. Like, but it just like, what if the Jets had just drafted Justin Fields number two? Yeah. We would have like fallen out of our chairs.
Yeah, I know. But they didn't.
Ricky Williams was really famous. Like, I think Bill Polian's like that at that point in time. Running backs were kind of quarterbacks equal, and Ricky Williams, I would say coming into the draft in our last 25 years, that guy was pretty hyped up. Didn't he win the Heisman? Yep. Obviously UT. Yep. I mean, it was just the hype. He was treated like a Tua, like an all-timer. Clowny. Like he's just an all-time draft prospect going into the draft, right?
Polian said.
Turns out actually he resurrected his career in Miami.
Did.
Look at some of those numbers.
Polian said he went to his pro day and it was not impressive, and that's what sealed it. But there was, it felt like a pretty wide consensus, maybe not outside, but within the league, that there wasn't much debate, at least in the final months, about Zach Wilson versus Trey Lance. You can understand. I mean, ultimately, the league, Justin Fields went several picks later, but Trey Lance went right after him. And right now, here's the headline. Many times tonight, we weren't on the same page, said Wilson. I just got to make good decisions. 95% of a quarterback's job is decision-making. It's early, so these quotes can be very general. But they get really specific when you've been handed the starting job of the New York Jets.
Wasn't there a New York Post headline that are like,
oh, yeah, hope? The New York Post headline was, Jets fans better hope it's better than this or something like that. I'll find it for
you. Yeah, I mean, the Jets aren't very good. So it's going to be an up and down season for the young kid. But what I do not understand is now seeing Trey Lance again. It doesn't fucking matter what the media, what fans think. It is the general manager and head coach's job to get it right. Like, ultimately, it's like, well, everyone would have taken Tua. Yeah, the Brian Flores and Chris Greer are not everyone. They are paid to know the better player. That is their job. Not the hype, not Mel Kiper's board, not what Haberman, who gives a shit? And I don't understand just going on the field. Like, I didn't know that much about Trey Lance. Most people didn't. Smaller school guy, up until the last month or two, he kind of like came into our lives. He was not like that for these people in the league. And Joe Douglas, who was, a pretty high level, just he's very highly thought of. I can't imagine him just standing next to Trey Lance, standing next to Zach Wilson. Like, again, you'd be like, well, how would they have known? That's their fucking job. And you and I go to practice, we're going next week. Like, you just go out to practice and go, Trey Lance, it's like, this guy could go one.
This is what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah, and Zach Wilson, again, I liked him during the fall. I thought he was really good. But he's a little smaller. It was like Trey Lance, they both, like, he wasn't playing anybody, And
he was playing, and that's what elevated him.
He was playing. I just wonder, it could be difficult because he does not have the physical tool. Like, Trey's is more physically gifted. Now, he was just a gamer, made some great throws. He is very talented. But I just, being at the Niner practices and just seeing the physical characteristics of this dude, if they both become players, like, I just don't see how Trey Lance is not a better player.
You know what's funny is that it's in the headline here.
And if Kyle's going to like him, they run the same fucking offense, right?
I wonder if Kyle would have, we assume, well, this is what LaFleur did, so Kyle would have done it. I'm with you. I'm not convinced Kyle would have drafted Zach Wilson after seeing Trey Lance in person. The headline from the Post was, Jets fans can only hope Zach Wilson will be better than this.
Their team stinks.
You know, I was thinking about him and Justin Fields, too, along with Trey. And in some ways, it feels like, again, we haven't seen a ton of the Trey Lance within the last year, especially against that level of competition. Certainly not Fields's, but it feels like of the three of them, Lance is least dependent on being a gamer, quote unquote, right? When Zach Wilson says 95% decision making. I don't know that watching him last year, it didn't seem like he had too many hard decisions to make, even though he wasn't playing with, the Alabama receivers. He was playing with pretty good receivers who were all physically better than most of the guys they were going up against. And his time to throw was off the charts, right? And he could just run around and make plays. Decision making really doesn't feel like it was a big part of the 2020 season that vaulted Zach Wilson to number two. And so that's where Trey, like when we go back to the, Mahomes 2.0, feels a little aggressive at this point in time just because that's a lot to put on a guy. But I do think the thing watching Trey Lance that is most impressive is I don't think he's not dependent. Just like Russell Wilson's not dependent on making gamer plays, right? Russell looks good in practice because Russell does the basic things really well. Trey Lance, I think, is going to look good in practice because he does the basic things really well. Now, the physical things are really going to show themselves when it comes time to make plays in a game, but he's not. I'm with you. I do wonder the lack of the physicality as it relates. Now, I didn't watch Zach Wilson and ever think he's got a weak arm. Like, he is athletic. No,
what I don't understand, and listen, I was on a different page as a TV scout and evaluator than Kyle. And I would imagine the Jets, clearly they like Zach Wilson more than Justin Fields. I just have a hard time just saying without hesitation that I'd have to get in some arguments in a draft room of, like, why is Zach Wilson? Because, again, we're not just – it's not even – I know he had a bad practice or whatever.
A brutal practice, according to one headline, John.
Brutal. Okay. It's not even about week one, right? It's not about week five. When you draft a quarterback really high, you're thinking like Bill Polian did with Peyton Manning for the rest of your life.
Right.
Like, it's changes lives. We are going to the Bears got really lucky, and Ryan Pace specifically, that Mitch Trubisky didn't ruin his career, because he almost did, and he might get a lifeline in this kid. He might get a lifeline, and that's rare, right? That you get to draft two first round. I bet if we did a study, not often teams took two first round quarterbacks with the same general manager in a 4-year span.
I mean, the Cardinals did it in 2 years, right? But you're right.
And wasn't there an article that's the first time that had happened since like the Broncos in the 80s
and back to back years?
But, yeah. But it might happen sometimes. But I doubt it's with the same administration. That's what makes it unique. I didn't know that much about Trey Lance. So when I talked about him, I just rode the hype with just my friends in the league telling me about him. But now that I've laid eyes on him and seen him at practice, and I had seen, like all of us, Justin Fields. Like, I valued his all the physical shit that he brought to the table. And then I'd seen him take Dabo and Venables and kick their ass. Like, I just, if I was placing bets right now, I'm betting on Fields, and I'm betting on what I now see of Trey Lance, and just knowing Kyle, that combination, over Zach Wilson. I just am. And I never understood why it was just always such a lock. I didn't get it. And clearly it was. Like, I don't even think it was a discussion for the Jets. And I think the Niners, it's going to be one of those things, a little bit like once upon a time when Sammy Watkins somehow went and then Khalil Mack just fell to the Raiders. Ironically, he didn't only played for him for 3 or 4 years. But, like, you just sometimes get gifted stuff that is sometimes in the draft, it is a little out of your control if you're not drafting one, right? If you're drafting 5, 6, 7, 3, you just need some other shit to happen, right, to get the guy you want. Because if a guy goes, you know, the Warriors just got Kuminga and the Moody. Well, they needed those guys. Joe talked about, like, they're bored. Like, they both had those guys as top 5 guys, which I don't think he's lying. I think he's telling the truth. But you, if that's true, you need those guys to not get picked.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like Mahomes and the Chiefs. I mean, we could go on and on and on with examples.
Because this show was adamant about no Mac Jones. I would have struggled if the situation was, like, I would have rather had Justin Fields than Zach Wilson.
If the Niners were at 2.
At 3. Let's just say some other, Trey Lance had gone.
Yeah, I'm just saying 2 would have been a much harder decision than 3, it feels like.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because in the end, if Fields had gone 4, right, if it had been boom, 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 not that you necessarily over time, like over time, it doesn't matter that Mahomes didn't go one spot after Trubisky. The fact that he's better, right, is all that matters.
Yeah.
But as of right now, the fact that it's right now, that's who the Jets then were deciding between.
I understand the league was a little down on him. I mean, but once upon a time, Mahomes and Watson went 10 and 12. So I just to think that all these teams know what they're doing when it comes to quarterback play has been proven they don't, right?
Yeah, I mean, the Chiefs knew what they were doing.
Yeah, and the Texans really like Deshaun Watson.
But I think that happens a lot, where sometimes you go...
But my point is that I think with a quarterback, more than any other position, for whatever reason, you get caught on something. Like, Trey Lance had less things. For whatever reason, I don't know exactly what it was, because I had people telling me that their write-up on Justin Fields actually wasn't... It wasn't really anything bad. Might have been a little bit like, you know, he's a big-time 5-star guy, but, like, fuck that... Every other position, that's how they get talked about.
Yep.
I know the Bears have really liked him, but bottom line is, I would bet, I feel pretty confident. Now, I guess the one thing would be the Bears, if Nagy got fired, he could go through some turmoil in the organization, but he's just more talented than Zach Wilson. Like, he just simple. Like, if Zach Wilson and Justin Fields were both at Ohio State last year, Justin Fields is the starting quarterback, right? Or Clemson or wherever they were.
I mean, I think
like,
so.
Justin Fields is the starting quarterback.
I think well, so, I know but something. He wasn't at Georgia, and he was more talented than Jake Fromm.
And so that was a decision that
But that's what I'm saying. Like, these things have, like, it's easy in hindsight to be like, you know, teams have circumstances. The same reason Kyle Shanahan didn't really do much studying on Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, even though he clearly needed a quarterback. But his circumstance was, I kind of know what we're about to do. So, you know, we're going to address a couple other things and then something falls in my lap. You know what I mean? Like, not everybody.
That's my point on Fields. Like, I think people overthought it. They use all these teams with whatever logic, and that's
yeah.
What
I just because it's
but
like,
with Zach Wilson, they just legitimately picked him over these.
That's
other
what
guys.
I'm saying. I think Zach is in a different boat as it relates to trade than even Justin is, because the Jets and Joe Douglas doesn't feel like the kind of guy that drafts based on public perception or pressure.
No,
so they have they value, like and that what makes it the other thing that makes those Trey and Zach different is that you would think. That the Jets and the Niners would like the same guy based on well, Kyle and one, the four.
Well, I'll tell you, one guy told me this about Joe Douglas, and it makes sense. He came up in the Ravens. And one thing the Ravens value that I don't know if Kyle's is big on, but the Ravens like this, and partly because of like Terrell Suggs, who I actually swam by at a pool in Arizona, and he just looks swagged. Ray Lewis, Ed Reed. They kind of like the cocky bullshit, you know, it's not even bullshit. Like, they just like the, I walk in the room, I'm the biggest swinging dick here. And like someone told me, they're like, I bet Joe's going to like that. Because what did Ravens, like, we play like a Raven. Like, they really valued that crap. Yeah. Kyle sometimes, like, is he too cocky? Is he too arrogant? You know,
yeah,
Kyle
is he high like, I just want a guy that's going to come work.
the Ravens kind of like that swag. And you kind of needed it, right, to play the Steelers. You know, so it just, we all look at things.
Well, the Ravens have properly evaluated swag and the marriage of swag and substance. They weren't drafting guys who were just all show.
No, but Zach Wilson like has a lot of had a lot of substance to him too. My point is that you can be really good at your job in the NFL, right? As an evaluator, and still do things poorly, not do things poorly, but make an individual mistake.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I just think that when all the dust settles, like I think the Bears got handed a gift from the gods on Justin Fields, and I think ultimately the Niners. Which, you know, kind of got lucky too. I'm not trying to overreact to this Saturday night practice, but my point is I have a hard time seeing that kid in New York is going to be better than this kid here.
Yeah.
I can't see it.
It's part of its circumstance too. I mean, he's got...
And if things go well for Justin Fields, like, you have to agree, like, Justin Fields, like, that guy's got some fucking elite attributes, right?
Yeah.
And he's played with the lights on.
But the Niners, but so I know like, that like the Niners, it was not Trey Lance or Justin Fields for the 49ers. Trey Lance.
But again, like I think Kyle is elite at his job. I think his evaluation on Mac Jones is moronic. So it's like, and I think a lot of people in the league do too.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. He didn't draft him. Like
but he really liked him and he thought he'd be good in the NFL. Well, and he's not going.
Well,
to
be. No, I don't think so either. But again, it doesn't matter. He took Trey Lance.
No, I know, but my point
so
is
we don't
it
really,
shows
my,
you
so
like
what I'm saying is we don't really know what Kyle's true evaluation is other than I think he's a good player, which when is he going to say anybody sucks?
Yeah, but I think when he talked with McVay, you can tell.
I go back to his Monday.
A lot of offensive coaches like Mac
I know,
Jones.
But I go back to his Monday press conference before the draft. Part of it is he's pissed that people say these types of guys suck. I think that annoys him. That
Kirk Cousins sucks.
That annoys Kyle Shanahan. That offends him.
Kirk Cousins does not suck.
And Kirk Cousins types. Now, if Mac Jones becomes Kirk Cousins, then he doesn't suck. But I think he's viewed as a Kirk type, you know.
Yeah.
Although the Vikings wanted Justin Fields. Because that's what happens. When you have that type of quarterback, you're constantly looking for something better.
If I said, Guy Haberman, you have to put $5,000 right now, does Mac Jones ever equal Kirk Cousins' career?
No.
You wouldn't hesitate to go to no, right?
I'm trying to find somebody who's not as good as Kirk Cousins that I would still say no to.
He's kind of the barometer. Because once you get past him, it starts feeling really shitty, it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah, I just, I think the other thing is circumstance. Like Trey Lance, and I said this when the Niners drafted Brandon Ayuk.
Do you think Mac Jones has as good of a career as Ryan Fitzpatrick?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I don't either.
But I'd say an above average career. So, no.
Well, 100%, but I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick ultimately, I think, was an undrafted free agent and had a way above average career. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick's 38 years old. How long has he been in the NFL? Right? 16 years? Like, he came in like 06. And he's had an incredible career.
I mean, above average is underselling it.
Wouldn't you say it just feels weird because he's played on so many teams, but like, everyone he's ever going to meet the rest of his life, they're like, oh, this guy played in the NFL for 18 years, you know? He honestly, when it's all, like, if he has a solid year, he could, like, have the same amount of years in as, like, Peyton.
Well, right? He's actually had a great career relative to most. It's just not great. Not like, oh, Hall of Fame means great, but he's had a great career. Great.
Yeah, factoring in his draft spot.
But I just factoring in what NFL careers are.
Yeah. But I think the hard part, the difference is, he was a seventh round pick. So, beyond a great career for a seventh round pick, right? The hard part for Mac Jones is, once Ryan got to like 6 years in, he had amassed, like, as a seventh round pick, like, it's just house money. And just in terms of perception and stuff, when you're drafted 15th overall, I just think we know this. It just stays with you a little while, right? It's like, that guy was a 15th overall pick.
Yeah.
It's hard to, like, you can't, part of what Kirk Cousins, where you have to give him his due, like, ultimately Kirk Cousins was a mid round pick, right? It's what's remarkable about us. He's become a really good player. He's going to have a 14, 15-year career, and he was drafted in the fourth round. Like, you can't – part of what makes Dak so special is just, like, you got that in the fourth round.
And I'd say that starts in the third. It doesn't matter where he was drafted. You had a 15-year career. It was a wild success. That definitely starts. The one thing I wanted to say about Zach Wilson here, though, to add is this is part of the Niners thing. We'll see. But you root for Robert Saleh and Mike LaFleur, but this is not exactly the stability that he just walked into. And who knows? I mean, if it goes well, that's great. If it goes well, it's great. But then you're switching coordinators. But that's okay. You'll take that problem in a heartbeat. If you told the Jets you're going to lose Mike LaFleur next year because he becomes a head coach, you'd go, great. That means it went really well. I mean, it's not great, but fine. But you know, if I'm a quarterback, especially if I'm a receiver, there's like five places I want to go, and the Niners are right near the top of that list. Yes. If I'm a receiver, New England drafts me, I go, oh no.
Unless Bill gives you a lot of money, and then you say, oh yes, because he did it for the first time this year.
Yeah. So, John, before we get any further, let's tell the people that this podcast is brought to you in part by our friends at Decked. You know about this? Decked.com/ham. Protect your tools. Protect your gear. If you own a truck, you know what it's like to have stuff rattling around in the cab, under the seat. What a pain it can be to keep it organized. Not only that, it's unsecured and exposed to the elements. That's where the amazing Decked.com/ham drawer system comes into play.
Yep. It's out of sight, out of mind. If you tailgate, you want to, you know, your tailgate's locked, you can't open it, so the drawers can't be removed, no one can take anything. They also offer a full line of segmented storage, organizational accessories like various toolboxes, bags, cargo tie-downs, and other handy maximum effort efficiency, both for space and your time. You can put stuff up to 2,000 pounds on top of it. Here's the thing, 100% American-made, also 3-year warranty, but as we were told by the guy that runs the company, we've never turned anyone down. So I can't, these guys are high level. Get your Deck drawer system at deck.com/ham and get free shipping. That's deck.com/ham for free shipping on your Deck drawer system. Yeah. Deck.com/ham.
Whether you're construction, you're in the trades, fishing, hunting, it's designed as a work product. But if your work happens to be cracking a few, opening up the grill on a Sunday for the tailgate, you can also modify these, fill these drawers with ice, put drinks in them. You can load everything, your tables, your chairs, all that stuff. I mean, hell, if it can hold a four-wheeler, it can hold your tables and chairs. Electronics, it's very popular for tailgating. So it fits every truck and cargo van made since the mid-90s and every mid-size truck since 05. So every full-size truck and cargo van since the mid-90s and every mid-size truck since 05. So just check them out. Free shipping. Decked drawer system. Decked.com/ham. Also, Middle Cough, when football season is nearly here, you know we got to tell the people about, we're actually playing some golf here soon. It's going to get hot and heavy. At DraftKings, promo code HAM right now when you sign up. Go do it.
Yep. They're the official daily fantasy partner of the National Football League and giving you a shot to turn big plays into even bigger prizes. Introducing the newest instant win challenge from DraftKings Wild Cards. Download the DraftKings app now. Promo code AM when you download it. And claim your first wild card for free. Up to $50 million worth of prizes up for grabs with 1 in 4 winning instantly. It's easy. Download the app to claim your first wild card, which will reveal either weekly player challenges or instant win prizes like tickets to the Super Bowl.
Whoa. Tickets to the Super Bowl.
I don't even know where the Super Bowl is this year, but
Miami?
Probably somewhere sweet. I think it is back-to-back Florida.
Download the DraftKings app now. Use the promo code HAM to play DraftKings Wild Cards Instant Win Challenge for your share of up to $50 million worth of prizes. Remember, that's promo code HAM when you sign up, only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Eligibility.
LA.
Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. I just always guess Miami. And 1 out of 3 times there, I'll be right.
Yeah, it hit me, and then I was like, you know, the Niners just played there, so I wonder if they're going back-to-back. So fly.
Raiders LA. Next year?
No, I think they're a little farther
down. Who gets it in 22?
I think.
Or I guess
gave them the draft or something. Yeah, I don't think they gave it to the Raiders yet, remember? It was like other. They gave them the draft.
Glendale. State Farm Stadium. Glendale. Because, you know, they. Why not? Jeez. Jeez Louise. All right.
One day.
Okay. On to the next, John. And we thought one of the things we would do today is rattle through some of the major headlines in the league, which we'll get to as well, and some of the Hall of Fame things. But how about Arden Key on the 49ers? We watched him for a couple of days, him and Mo Hurst, actually, former Raiders, speaking of the Raiders. Solomon Thomas went that way. And he was asked if he was surprised that him and Mo Hurst weren't brought back for the Raiders. And he said, nah, not really surprised. Bad system. Wasn't for me. He did add a wasn't for me, which is important. But what do you think? He's the guy. I mean, Mo Hurst was a fifth rounder. This was a third round pass rusher, which is different than Solomon Thomas, who was a top of the draft.
Third overall pick. Yeah.
But still, is there the potential that they got something here?
Yeah, I mean, when he was coming out, people that I knew in the league said he was off their draft board. So, of course, Gruden took him. Like, he's talented. You stand by him in practice. He's big. He's long. He's a blue-chip dude from LSU. He has not had a good NFL career, right?
It is three not, sacks tell in 3 years.
Me 3 sacks? Yeah, it is not going well. Disastrous pick for the Raiders. And really, I saw Kyle talk about it today in the press conference. Someone asked him he was like, we didn't really, because remember, they got cut kind of randomly. They didn't get cut right at free agency. They didn't get cut going into the season. They just got cut maybe it was right after the draft. The timing.
Well, a few things happened that were timing weird. Like Rodney Hudson, they had some offensive line situations that were bizarre.
It didn't quite feel like all their ducks were in a row.
Cliff Kingsbury said we didn't expect him to be available, but he was available, so we got him. We never would have been able to get him.
Damn. Yeah, so it's some weird shit happened. Now, trading Rodney Hudson is a lot bigger deal than cutting Arden Key, so I do not blame. I'm not holding against the Raiders for cutting the guy. But here's what I know. Keep my ear to the street, the Niners were high on the guy. Now, just being high on a guy in training camp does not mean anything once he's already proven he's an underachiever. But I was around Jim Washburn, who taught this guy, the Niners defensive line coach, which I would imagine is probably the highest paid defensive line coach right now in the league, Chris Kocurek, is literally Jim Washburn's apprentice. He taught him the ropes. He taught him in Detroit, and he's gone on his own. Like, that is his guy. And what I know about Jim Washburn and what I know about this guy is they can resurrect nobodies. And in Philly, Washburn was doing it with just, I don't even remember the guy's names. It was just like he would take a random guy at the street and he could get you 5 or 6 sacks over a course of a year. One white guy from Tennessee, Jason Babin.
He did Yeah.
You
Babin
know?
Was.
And he did it several times in Detroit with kind of random guys. And I just know that in the wide nine scheme, just this guy has a chance to be productive. Now, I'm not saying I'm betting on it or anything. I don't even think he was. I just was fucking with Raider fans, posted on Twitter. It doesn't even say that bad. He was like, the scheme wasn't for me. But I think it is indicative of, like, did they just have no plan on anything like the last couple years?
I mean, you never quite know, right? A cut player, a fired person, are they the best witness, so
scorned
to speak?
Scorned lover.
Sometimes they are, though. It's hard to know. Time will tell. If he plays well for the Niners, that'll be a poor reflection of the Raiders, just like if Solomon Thomas plays well for the Raiders, it'll be a poor reflection of the 49ers.
Yeah.
But there was something that I think your reaction was, there was something there behind his smile that felt like, I'm just happy I'm not there anymore. Which, again, there are people that are happy they're not places where they weren't wanted. So that in and of itself is not evidence of anything. But, it's when you go to the practice field, he looks different physically.
Yeah, Harden, I mean, sometimes when you get escorted out of the building, it's a good thing.
What did you do that day, you think? Do you remember?
I just went home, I think I had a sandwich. I was worked up. If I could have done it over again, I might have gone some double birds throughout the... if I knew the way everything was going to play out in my life, I would have done something a little crazier, I think. There's just a lot of unknown at the time. So you're not quite as bold as you probably would have been looking back. But just... Listen. Overall, for the Raiders, they have drafted a lot of players recently, defensively, that have just not worked. Like, that much is inarguable, right? We talked about this the other day. Cleveland Farrell and Damon Arnett, these guys were first-round picks. Obviously, Farrell, the fourth overall pick. And we talked about the luck of Trey Lance and the Zach Wilson thing. Whenever I think about Cleveland Farrell, can you imagine Jason Light and Bruce Arians, how often they're like, God, we are so lucky Devin White was just there at five. Like, if you could do that over, the Raiders just would have taken Devin White, right? And just got some sweet middle linebacker who knows? Maybe their defense is just dramatically better because he makes 10 extra tackles that are just not getting made through the game, right? He would have been a huge difference maker.
And just
bring
some stability, right?
Just a high-level guy, ass kicker, plug-and-play kicker.
Derek had brought a certain level of stability to the Raiders offense. He was just a guy you knew was going to be there every day.
Well, say Khalil did that for 4 years on their defense?
Yeah.
But my point is, like, you need a stability guy on both sides of the ball. It's why most good teams, like, they just... Peyton's going in the Hall of Fame tonight. Wouldn't you say the Colts defense always felt like you wanted a little bit more, but you always felt... they got Freeney and Mathis. Just like, they're staples over there just leading the charge, right? And you just need someone over there leading the charge. And the Raiders are constantly like, is this guy going to be the guy? You know how you find the guy? You draft him. Like, the reason, like, what, the Niners team captain, Fred Warner, well, they fucking drafted him. You have to draft your staples. And then you kind of build around them. The problem is GM Gruden, and I think it's insane because we watched Mike Mayock's career so closely, and he was always just so nails, and now he's picking guys out of left field. Like, it would have felt like, Arden Key, don't like that guy.
It'll be interesting this year because they went defense again. I mean, obviously they drafted Leatherwood one, but they went defense again with their next five picks, but they took a safety in the
second
round.
Those guys are starting. The Murig guy from TCU is starting right now, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Trayvon Morig. They've drafted a lot of DBs.
He's a good player. People like him. Yeah. They've drafted a shitload of DBs, guys.
It'd be nice, and this wasn't their fault, but these guys. It'd be nice if Carl Joseph or Obi Melifonwu had been the safety of the future, right?
Yeah. Well, like, have you noticed? I just feel like I get a lot of Chargers content in my social media
it's
feeds.
Nonstop.
Here, if
we always laugh because there's
healthy.
Charger fans everywhere. The Padre fans there's less of. I mean, now there's more.
Yeah, big following on social media. It feels like just their posts get reposted. If Derwin James, if he's around again, big if he gets hurt, he looks. It's just like Jesus.
Did you see the video?
That's a pretty big. Him and Keenan Allen
the other day. Like, he routed him. I watched that video and I thought, this is one of the reasons why Justin Herbert looked incredible as a rookie. You're like, why did Justin Herbert look so much better? Well, have you seen this guy, Keenan Allen? Joey Bosa looked good. All white. I think that was the deal. They were wearing all white.
One of my, I had a late first round grade on Keenan Allen. Everyone in the Eagles was down on him. Too slow. Can't play. I let groupthink overwhelm me. By the end of the draft, I think I had him like a third.
So you did your evaluation. You just moved him down your board. I mean, your report, not your board. You didn't have a board. What if you had corner, like, Middlecoff's board? Who put this up?
Everyone has their own board, technically, but yeah. It's like, look at this. It's why there is just so much.
Look at my mock. Look at my mock 3.0.
No one's board looks the same. It's why there are a lot of tensions in the draft, because I went on Ty Dunn's podcast the other day, and we were shooting the shit and bullshitting about, like, the Niners – had got mad at him for, remember he wrote a long article about the Jimmy Garoppolo maybe or the Niners and had written like there was some animosity with scouts and coaches, with John Lynch or something in the draft, and it like pissed the Niners off. And I was like, you know what's stupid is you can have the highest level operation. Every draft, there are going to be people in that room that like, I don't agree with this pick. Mm-hmm. It is, you could have the every year with the Steelers, like who's the highest level organization in the league? The Chiefs, they're going to be like, you know, I probably would have taken someone else. Like it's human nature, right? Now you could argue.
Well, remember the video from the Eagles?
Probably should keep your mouth shut. Oh yeah, Tom Donahoe, he goes to high five him and he's like, fuck this.
It's like, why was he so mad, Howie? Well, he wanted somebody else.
But you know what? I'm so glad that video got out. Isn't that one of just the realest thing? Like, how often is that happening in all these rooms?
Just let me be pissed for a minute. I'll be on the team when we all, you know, what a coach said. We got to be united when we walk through those doors. Like, that's what, right?
Now, here is, in my experience, I've seen it. And it's harder to know unless you really know people with a team, what's going on. But it happens on every team. Where you get screwed when that happens is when a position coach hated the guy. Right. And you draft him in the third round, and then out of spite, he's like, I'm not going to coach this guy hard. I'm not going to play. And it just can get ugly fast. And that's where bad teams can derail. Now, if your head coach is a complete charge, that never happens because that just you wouldn't be allowed, right? There's no like, you know, the tight end coach for the Patriots, he just wasn't feeling Gronkowski's backup, wasn't coaching him hard. You think that shit's flying? You know?
Yeah, Josh McDaniels isn't feeling Mac Jones, right? But Bill might not be either.
Well, the good thing there,
the
though,
one thing like you watch playing. The Patriots, Bill doesn't hang on to guys. If he forced them on somebody and the position coach hates them, they just.
If you told me Mac Jones sucks, like, I mean, legitimately stinks, couldn't you see, and like things are going well and they have some other, couldn't you see them like trading
Bill
him
will treat him
years?
Like it was some other GM that drafted him and then Bill just showed up.
Bill will have zero.
No attachment.
Connection to
yeah,
the kid.
No embarrassment. None. No ego. It'll be a total ego-free no. cut. Be like, Bill, you know, it's been three preseason games. Mac hasn't taken a snap. Yeah, well, Stidham's better.
I mean, you think at that. August 8th, 2021, August 8th, 2024, is Mac Jones on the Patriots?
It's 21 season, 22 season, 23 season. No.
So going into year four.
Well, to me, it's one
probably
of those
get,
like
probably get. You definitely get a second.
Is
third
he about,
year to
are
play.
You about? To, are you going to flip him in 3 years for a one because you found somebody else and you look good in the preseason and plays like two games in place of Cam? Does seem like people like him. Like if he can hang around with Nick, right? He was around Nick for a long time before he got his shot. I could see if he doesn't have to play, Bill just keeping him around as the backup. The problem is he doesn't have like unless if Cam's good this year, yes. Because then if maybe Cam's just their quarterback for a little while. Then, yeah, it's not. I mean, clearly Stidham's not doing it much for him.
No. I think Stidham's got a back it. He hasn't even practiced. Can we just give a quick round of applause for a fellow Valley guy?
Who?
Sanger Banger. Tom Flores going to the Hall of Fame.
I'm not watching it right now.
Big, you know, Raider Nation, it's one of their guys that they had really adamant that was always getting screwed, right? Not getting in.
Then Coors Light. And, you know, this is the first person that an alcohol company has gotten into the Hall of Fame, I think.
And let's face it, I mean, I do think he came in on a wheelchair. I think his health's deteriorating. And a couple years ago, right, when Stabler got in, he was dead. A lot of people were like, you know, this shouldn't have had to be like this. And you don't want a guy. And listen, I know you've met him. And maybe there's just something, small-town guy in the Valley. He is as nice of a human being. And when I met him, he was much older. I mean, it was only probably 5-6 years ago, right? So it's not, I didn't meet him in his heyday or anything, but he was as friendly of an old man as like, if you didn't know he was a multiple-time Super Bowl coach, you would just be like, oh, it's just a salt of the earth friendly old guy, right? If you just met him at like a Safeway or whatever, he would.
And
you
he's
know,
beloved
just,
where he's from, you know, because.
The Sanger people would take bullets for
Flores him, Stadium. That's, I think that's Sanger High School's Tom Flores Stadium.
Beloved. I remember hearing about him when we lived there, just like, and I didn't even know that much
I
about
didn't
him. I learned more about him, obviously, once we were around the Raiders more. But how often did you hear his name when you lived in Fresno?
All the time.
Like in the football community?
All the time.
Yeah, he's a big fucking deal there.
Sanger, by the way, has good barbecue tri-tip they have. They sell at the football game. I didn't realize they were doing this thing where they run. I watched the Saturday night speeches. I watched a bunch of them just on NFL.com or YouTube. I'm watching right now. Did you see, like, they run at the bottom, since you only have 8 minutes, other people you'd like to thank? You see that?
No.
It said, like, Tom Flores would also like to thank, and it just had a list of people running underneath the screen. Because the last name was Fred Biletnikoff. Because I heard Dwight Clark say that he texted Edgerrin, because Edgerrin mentioned Marcus Pollard, but not Dwight Clark. Sorry, not Dwight Clark. What's his name?
Dallas Clark.
And Dallas Clark said yesterday, like, he texted Edge, like, Edge, no love? And Edge was like, sorry, man, only 8 minutes.
Listen, here's the last thing on Flores for me is that we're known as, like, you know, I think Raider people think we're haters.
Although the person who gave us one star for you, can you guys set an alert to tell me when you're doing Raiders talk? Tweeted at us, said they updated to 5 stars after we talked about it on the mailbag.
We were lucky enough to have some pretty inside access to camp and be around, and it was cool.
It was cool.
Listen, I've worked for a team that was, it's very, that team is very just the franchise to its players. It's a big deal. We spent a lot of time with the Niners, who obviously, you know, the old guys still come by. I think the Raiders would be on the short list of teams, probably right there with, like, the Steelers of just, it feels very collegiate. Like, when, you know, Howie just walks, whoever, and whether you're, you know, a guy that played in 2016 or whether you played in 1972, the way they treat those guys, like, it is, there can't be another, one day when the Davis family doesn't own it, like, that is something that clearly Mark has done I don't know how it quite was at the end with Al. He'd get mad at guys and they wouldn't come back around. Mark clearly broke all that down and those guys come around. It's a very cool feeling.
That's,
like, the Bobby Bowden, just, I don't know if you follow, like, whoever Florida State you follow on, like, line, they are in shambles right now over it. And you can always tell, like, they're a tight-knit Florida State. The U, you were telling me the Edgerrin James with the U. The Raiders do have a feel like that, don't
it
they?
It comes from, like you said, it comes from one family owning the team. That's what makes it, because I think when you have one coach that coached for 20 years at a college and you've got generations of players that come back and that one person binds them, or an owner in the case of, like, the Steelers, the Rooneys. I heard Troy Polamalu, Bill Cowher talking about family. You're right. I mean, that's what it comes from. Because people come back to see that one person who's always there.
Well, it's like when you look Bobby Bowden.
Plus the Raiders take care of their guys.
Exactly. So if you, 76 to 09, right? Bobby Bowden. So think how many humans he touched. Al Davis owned the team from whatever, 60s till the Davis family still does. So it's like, that's where the Steelers would factor in, right? With the Rooneys. Like, you have just know the Rooneys. So Jerry Jones now for 35 years or however long it's been, you're right. There's a connection that's just, the Niners had it with Eddie and then he left.
Right.
And it's just not, you know, it's just different.
But they do try to bring their guys. I mean, I do think they're pretty
active. Do, but it's just, it is the individual you're coming, like, you are actively coming back. Like, Danny Cannell took a picture and was like, I'm so glad that I my daughter was on a, you know, a tennis trip or something. And I went by Bobby's house earlier this summer. And you just realize all these people that the guy touched their lives. Dion gave a really good statement of, like, it's just the impact that human being had on people, right, is just pretty crazy.
Jimmy Johnson's speech was amazing. Like, it was really good. Like,
yeah.
We've heard the stories you've mentioned, like, before the Chiefs Super Bowl, that Jimmy came in and talked to the Chiefs Niners, talked to the Chiefs. And it really was more of, like, a life pep talk than it was a speech.
He's a badass.
It was incredible. And he's like, you know, a couple of months ago, a few of my friends came to the Keys. It's like, okay, he starts telling the story. Then they throw up a picture. Shirtless, six-packed Troy Aikman was one of the friends that came to the Keys. it's crazy his run was as short as it was in Dallas, because it probably should have been a lot longer. But
I feel like Troy's been one of those guys since he was probably 15 till present that just every room he's walked in, basically a sign above his head, here for the sex.
Well, you know? It's Brittany. Here we go. Brittany said earlier, lime, salt, and a shot of Tito's off Bosa's abs.
Yeah, he's pretty ripped too.
The John Lynch. You know, we interviewed John Lynch on the podcast going into the, was it the 18 season? Could that have been the first?
Might have been the 19
was it
season.
19?
I don't know. Nah, it's hard.
It feels like it should have been 19, but maybe it was 19.
Feels like a different world to go, doesn't
it? And when we interviewed him, we weren't doing the video, but we showed him video. We're like, what do you think? This would have been a targeting, right? Like, obviously, this is a targeting. And he kind of got, like, he went back into player mode. Like, no, that's a clean hit. And then you tweeted yesterday, the day before. Was it yesterday? You posted like a 4-minute John Lynch just murder tape.
Crushing people.
So this class is Lynch. Steve Atwater went in yesterday, previous class. Troy Polamalu went in. One day, all the safety tape is not going to look like it looks right now.
Well, I don't know. There are going to be time where I don't think safeties are going to stop going in. You know, if you think about safeties in the history of football up until the flag generation, which has become the last 5-6 years, they played an enormous role. If you went over the middle, wouldn't you say most teams? Now, Lynch and Atwater, like the high-end guys, because they could do other things. Like a lot of the highlights, if you watch a John Lynch highlight package, he's picking balls off, he's tipping balls, like he's doing other things. But every team had a guy that would hit you and break your helmet, right? So it's like the sport, like let's face it, it's just dramatically different. Like I'm watching that thinking, the toughness you had to have when you were playing, I'm playing the Denver Broncos. It's like, hey, we're going to run a deep in here. You're like, bro, they got fucking 27 over there. Well, I'm not running that route. You crazy? And I bet all week in practice, you're like, oh, yeah. And then all of a sudden, he hits you in the sternum and you can't breathe and you realize the ribs are cracked. I mean, those guys, listen, it's completely different. And football's never been more popular in terms of the quantity of people that watch it. I'm glad I'm old enough to like have lived through it and when it was celebrated. Like I think it's cool. Listen, I don't want anyone to get fucking CTE or anything, but I like that style of football more.
Well, yeah, now, it's more entertaining for the rest of us.
Yeah, was it truly as good?
Until somebody actually gets hurt. It's what the sport was built on, but they also rightly understood. I think you're right though, like you can't slow motion highlights, like
but
I'm pulling
but I'd even argue now it feels like they've almost jumped the shark a little too much because guys now are hesitant.
But it doesn't change. You know, it doesn't get you less viewers. You know what I mean? Like when the sport was still trying to find it, not find its way, but when it was a developing, more developing than it is today, it probably helped it a lot. You know, I the thing to your point though, that you got to witness it, like just watching some John Lynch highlights, slow motion, it doesn't do it justice in slow motion. It doesn't do it justice. Now we could watch fast motion, but even that doesn't quite do justice when the game when it's like, whoa, what just happened?
But
I do think safeties are still, you still got to cover tight ends. You still got your Buda Bakers and your Ty Matthews.
Yeah. He's the modern, they're the modern day versions. And if they still could, those guys would be willing. They just like Buda Baker would be a big hitter. They just had to change their game. Right. Jimmy Ward.
You're protecting guys players from themselves, basically.
Yeah, throw their body around. But, like, there was just, you watch these plays from the 90s, it was such a violent sport. And I would say the big difference, and I didn't watch it live, but, like, the 70s to the 90s, guys were clearly just bigger, right? Weight training had changed. Things had just changed. Human beings evolve. And I would say the 90s, even into the early 2000s, the violence of the sport of football, when you factor in the speed of everyone, was shocking more people than just die. And it really is. As someone, I was beyond a below average high school. I was a terrible football player. I should have just fucking just focused on golf, not even played football. But whenever you'd go into a tackling drill in practice, for me, I could never just like completely fearless. Let's just go. Like there's always like a little hesitant. You just play with a couple guys in high school, like John Reynolds, who was fearless. And then once you get, like, I was lucky enough, once you work in, like, college football, you had a couple guys who were just fearless. And most guys just hesitate a little bit because you have to be completely fearless. And the best guys are just completely fearless on defense. They're a rare breed. You watch the John Lynch highlight tape. You watch the Steve Atwater there is zero fear. Like, there is zero. Once they're going at where they're going, there is no longer thinking or like, it's just like, I'm going to fucking destroy this person.
Well, John Lynch is,
I just don't know if that,
in the highlight
that does not exist in the secondary.
They're going to hit somebody like he's never been hit before, which I guess it's all relative. Like that can still happen, but it was about making somebody feel something they'd never felt. The interview that John Lynch did on Thursday night during the Hall of Fame game. Did you see that? Cause they're like, John, you were a quarterback. Like, what was the deal? It's like, well, one of the things was I'd always like hitting people. Like, I just liked hitting people. more than
well in the video that I tweeted out. I just cut it from YouTube. You could see it in his eyes. What I think is the craziest part about John Lynch is he's clearly pound for pound every single human that has ever talked about him, whether it's these guys around him here, whether it's I just have a couple scouting buddies like, yeah, I ran into him at a game. He's like, God, the guys just started talking to me. Every single human, nicest person they've ever come across. His look in the eyes of the YouTube highlight tape, you can just look it up, where he's talking about the violence of foot. You can see, like, this guy's fucking crazy. Like,
how does that person not just hate everybody in his life, right?
No,
how's that guy not a
but
jerk?
But he's so well...
Because he must have some internal, just some horrible anger that drives him to be like this, but it's not where it came from.
No. He just flips
Troy,
the switch.
How about Troy Polamalu?
Well, yeah, he's another good... The Paulies, though, I'd always say the Islanders being around just at Fresno State, they are the most relaxed, you know, personality-wise. Very, very chill. Mm-hmm. And they're always
all,
the strongest.
And they're all very, not all, but often very aggressive football players.
Yeah, when the whistle blows, you fucking watch out.
But there's like this, you're like, wait, I think you like everything you're talking about. It's like, it's all love. You're like, yeah, it is all love, but I'm going to take your head off.
I'd kind of forgotten about him. Remember, I guess he's still part of the marketing campaign a little bit, but he played a huge role in the marketing campaign at Head and Shoulders.
These Hall of Fame classes are, there's some players that like I loved, like Polamalu and Edgerrin James, that I thought today, I thought the same thing about Edgerrin. Like, I haven't heard from Edgerrin in forever, but.
I saw someone tweet like Marvin Harrison really just sitting there like he didn't shoot all those people at the car wash.
Oh, that's good.
The cool part about the Hall of Fame is just you just get some personalities like, oh, that guy's there. You know, they start swinging around, even just like random role player like I love playing my right-hand man, like Billy. And it'll be like, oh, the right guard who was kind of famous. You're like, oh, I forgot about that guy. And then obviously there's for like Mike Shanahan's and like those type North guys Turner. Are there. Yeah, just guys. I saw a picture of Jimmy took. It was Norv Turner, Wanstead, Jimmy, and Aikman. And like Wanstead was his defensive coordinator. Norv Turner was his offensive coordinator. Jimmy was this crazy guy. And Troy... That thing is cool about football is like, and maybe it's like this definitely in all sports, but in football, like Bernardi, who had played at Fresno State, he was coaching for a while.
Bernardi.
He actually just became the AD.
I think
Joe Bernardi,
who was our center high school in the Central Valley,
who was our center at Fresno State, sent me a picture a couple weeks ago, like all the offensive linemen that they played in the late 2000s and their children and their wives, and were I think over at Coach Hill's house, just like having a barbecue. And you just become kind of like you have this lifelong friendship. Like they coach you hard, but then you kind of become friends with them as you get older. Like Troy Aikman and Jimmy Johnson, you listen to Troy Aikman on the podcast with McVay. He was like, honestly, like a year in, I'm like, I don't even know if I'm gonna fucking last. I'm terrible. Or were records bad? I'm thinking, am I gonna make it? Like, are they gonna? Am I gonna get past? Am I gonna be good enough? And 30 years later, they're both legends. They're like friends. You know, you just become kind of connected to them. Right?
You went through something.
If the guy's more normal. Like, I don't think anyone's like, oh, I'm friends with Harbaugh. Right? I don't know if that's the case. If the guy's normal and cool, you can become friends.
I would have loved for Jim Harbaugh to have gone into the Hall of Fame, John, just for that speech.
I don't know if that's going to happen. Could John get there if he wins a Super Bowl with Lamar?
Yeah, he could get there. Absolutely. I mean, Dungy.
Yeah,
you don't need five
John
rings.
John can get there.
I mean,
no. I mean, it feels like Andy's in, and he's only got one.
Andy is in.
I got a little inside birdie. Just got a text yesterday. Our defense is sweet. From someone on the Ravens.
Now, someone on the Ravens.
Sweet? Yeah, but it's just... I
did start thinking, like, I did think that I was watching some Lamar Jackson, like, warm up throwing the football. I wasn't thinking about the defense, so that's good intel.
Because I'm tempted to bet on the Raiders week one because I think everyone's going to bet on the Ravens. But then I hear things like that. Are the Ravens just really good? Like, I mean.
I wonder if Lamar's going to be better this year.
Yeah, it's possible.
All right, John.
The Greg Roman thing gets kind of, slows down, right?
There's
his
a
offense,
ceiling. But is that because of him or is that because of the quarterback? Like, if the quarterback is not capped, then it.
Maybe you could break through the ceiling with Lamar.
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, when are we going to list every preseason game that's on the schedule this week? And give our one line thoughts on them off the top of our head. And the question is, do we do that Thursday? Today or do we do that Thursday?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You know, we're going to Niners practice on Tuesday and we're going Thursday. We probably do it Thursday. You're right. We probably hold it. I'm just pretty excited about this. So we'll hold it.
But you're the one who always says they suck after like
that. I know, but I feel I don't know if it's because of all the quarterbacks, I don't know what it is. They do suck after a series, but I want to see that series. Not a series. I want to see that quarter. I want to see Jalen Hurts.
Won't you want to watch Jordan Love play a quarter?
Exactly. What the hell is I want to watch like? Jordan Love. Is Tua going to play? I want to see Fields. What are the Jags? What are the Jags going to do? That game's on NFL Network, Jags-Browns.
Do you see the Sean McVay line about Matt Stafford?
No.
As long as I'm the head coach of the LA Rams, he will never play a snap in the preseason.
Oh, you did send me that. Yes.
That's a pretty good line.
That's a great line. Les said, I mean, Lamar is pretty good. I know I'm asking, is he I kind of felt like maybe Josh Allen had passed him, but is he about to bounce back and pass Josh?
How about last week? We were talking about the Carr contract extension, what it would go for.
Oh, yeah, on the mailbag.
Out of nowhere, I guess it wasn't out of nowhere. They've been talking contract with this guy, but I wasn't expecting him just to get signed. $150 million guaranteed. So it's like, that's the new kind of bar. I had two immediate thoughts. If I'm the Browns, I cannot sign Baker Mayfield that contract. Like, I got to see another year. Under no circumstances am I signing Baker Mayfield that contract until he proves it back-to-back years. And Lamar's just got $150 million.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But I mean, I think the question with Baker is like, what does exactly Baker have to prove? Because what exactly did Dak prove other than they had no other options?
Would you feel good about giving Baker $135 million guaranteed?
No, but the cap's going up. But no, I wouldn't feel good about it. But do the Cowboys feel good about what they gave Dak? Or do they they feel kind of good about Dak, but Dak is, you know, got the Noah Syndergaard going right now.
That was not a great moment for Mark Davis and the Raiders.
You mean because it requires cash to sign Derek? Well, again, this goes back to what John's referring to if you missed the mailbag. Did you see
his signing bonus was $16 million. Someone in the NFL texted me. They're like, it looks crazy. They're like, that is an incredible contract for the Bills. Six-year contract? They got a six-year. Dak got four. He got a six-year contract. He's like, honestly, in our building, we thought it was going to be over 45 a year. And the signing bonus money is not that crazy. Now, the guarantee, you're already all in on the guy anyway.
You're paying quarterback,
whatever.
Cap hit is 10.
Six-year contract is pretty
$16 million, yeah, cap hit in 22, 39.7 in 23.
Here would be the difference, guy. Would the Browns sign Baker Mayfield for 6 years? Would you want to do that?
No. But...
Honestly, Lamar, 6 years, like, I mean, is he staying healthy, running around?
I mean,
how many guys Mahomes, in this, went 10, and this guy went
really
six. Those are long.
Sign 6 year contracts with.
I'd even argue, Josh, that's a little risky. Like, there's risk involved in that. Mahomes is really the only riskless quarterback.
Right.
If Trey Lance goes perfectly.
Yeah, but you don't.
I text someone on the Niners, I'm like, 2020, what'd I say? $227 million.
In what year will that deal be done? 2020.
In 4 years.
Five.
2024. 21, 22, 23. Potentially going into the 24 season. If things go perfectly.
Well, you start week one. You start the clock. You get paid sooner. I mean, Josh Allen did just have a year that makes people think he's about to become a Hall of Famer. Which, like I've been saying, there is just some bubbling. Like, there is a segment of people that think, you know, maybe they all watched the Warren Sharp tape I watched that was like 30 interceptable balls that didn't get picked off. It was 20. They didn't get picked off last year. Like, did everything go perfectly right, or is this just about to be an explosion of a play?
For him.
For Josh Allen, yeah.
For Josh. You think Fresno State regrets not signing him as a quarterback?
Well, you know, John, it took a while for him to develop. But it'd be nice to have him on the payroll right now when it's time to do the fundraising.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I think there are a lot of Mountain West programs that would gladly take his picture and fame and Pro Bowl bit, you know, just put up on their wall when you want.
The Josh Allen Strength and Conditioning Center. What if it was like Allen and Carr?
I think Wyoming feels pretty good about that one.
Like the Allen and Carr? Something, something?
Where was that? Was Josh Allen, what was he, like 30 minutes north of Bakersfield? Wasn't he from down there too? Like, yeah, isn't Derek and Josh Allen from like
not Porterville?
Reedley, or
he went to Reedley Junior College, Josh Allen.
But my point is, he's from Fireball. What are the chances that two of the best quarterbacks in the AFC are from Fireball and Bakersfield? That's pretty crazy when you think about it. I know if you're listed outside of California, it's probably hard to like. That's
they're small towns. Fireball, I think, smaller than Bakersfield.
Bakersfield's actually grown a lot, right?
Fireball's a small town.
I think they're. Yeah,
I think Fireball might be like a one high school town. I could be wrong about that though. Maybe that's changed.
Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. It's you know, and he went to a junior college too. But the Central Valley is a very football rich area. Like Fireball, I promise you, their football games are well attended.
What are the chances that a town of 8,300 people produces a $150 million quarterback?
I mean, yeah. Where's the Darren Revelle?
8,300 people.
It would take the citizens of Fireball 7 years to make 2 months of Josh Allen's salary.
What would you guess the Bakersfield population is? Bigger, you think?
40?
You're way off.
Too low?
Yeah.
70?
I got almost 400,000 people. It's big. Bakersfield grown a lot.
Yeah, I guess Davis is like 70 probably, or once upon a time. Yeah. Without
What's the greater sack area? Like 800? Fresno's what, like 500,000-600,000 now? Those areas just keep growing too. Cheap real estate.
A couple things here, John, from YouTube. Alex says, is Trey Lance's stock falling? Probably being sarcastic, but I would say no. Jimmy swung back on Saturday, John.
Jimmy's not going to go quietly.
D-Nice says, who are the surprise teams from each conference? That's an interesting thought. That we make a note. That'd be something good to... we're not going to get to that today, but that might be something good to circle back to.
The Niners.
I mean, unless you have one off the top of your head today.
No. I mean, it's just the same teams that everyone talks about. That topic, to me, gets a little played out.
The surprise teams?
That's my take, because everyone has a team, and it's always like...
But see, I don't mind it, because...
Is Minnesota a surprise team?
I remember, I have to go back and look. I do think, historically, the stats are like, you know, every year, three or four teams that made the playoff miss, and three teams that... So there's...
Well, yeah.
You know... There's enough teams that you think are going to be bad. One of them is going to end up being good.
Could Carolina win 10 games if Sam Darnold's really good?
I did see that Sam Darnold threw a touchdown to a Dan Arnold today in practice, or yesterday. Or maybe it was just a nice throw. I just read a Roto World headline. I didn't actually see it. So,
well, that's all you need to care, you know, follow the league. Just read Roto World.
All right. So, you know, if something happens, we'll be here. Tuesday, we'll be going to Niner practice again. So expect a live pod in the afternoon as soon as we get back from Niners practice. Thursday, the same deal. We'll have a bunch of NFL headlines we're tracking, plus a full preview of week one in the NFL preseason. Something from every game that we want to see. John smiling like I'll be the only one making a list. But I mean, it's not that hard.
No. Try to hype up the preseason.
I you know what happened to me the other day, Thursday? I had such low expectations for the Hall of Fame game that I actually enjoyed watching it.
There wasn't much action. Like, one thing, I can handle a preseason game if at least people are scoring and making plays. But the quarterback play sometimes, guy, is atrocious.
Yeah. You realize real quick.
Again, you're talking to someone who has hated the preseason with a passion since 2010. Because I had to actually watch all those fucking guys.
Yeah, but now you can watch one series and move on with your day. Like, what is Trevor Lawrence?
No, I know.
Like?
I mean, I'll watch the star quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying.
That's what it's about.
I saw almost 8 million people watched. It was like highest rated preseason Hall of Fame game in like 20 years.
Good job by ESPN by having Tom Brady's name at the bottom of the screen so we can all identify who Peyton's talking about there. All right, let's go watch some more Hall of Fame. And hey, everybody, if you're hanging here on your way out the door, maybe smash that like button. We forgot to say this. Leave us a mailbag question on the Facebook page. You can just hit the Facebook page right down in the description on YouTube or on the podcast. The link is in both. And leave us an iTunes review. We're close to 1,000 reviews. I don't know if we're quite there yet, but I haven't checked in a couple of days. But in that review, leave us a question and tell us your favorite bar to hang out at or get a Tito's at.
Do it.
And keep sending us your pictures of Tito's.
Tito's.
Later, everybody.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.